Another day, another dawn.
Another day, another what?
Another dawn. Another day, another dawn.
Okay. Well, guys, again, Afaf is here this time because we're traveling again. This time, the both of us, we're leaving on Sunday. So this was a very last minute shoot. So Dad's not here. But anyway, welcome back to Conversations with My Conscience, Afaf edition.
Thank you for having me back. I feel like it's been ages.
What do you mean? You're the first person I filmed with when I came back from traveling, no?
Yeah, but I feel like it's been ages since I've been sitting here, you know?
I think it's been a few weeks,
yeah. It's been a few weeks, yeah.
Oh, before we start, I know I had to release an episode last week, but there's a little glitch in the... Well, it's not really a glitch. I'm just going to say it's a glitch in the video. So I'm waiting for my editor to come back before I post this, so... You know,
the importance of one's role, yeah, so and the contribution.
This one will be released after the one with Dad. But anyway,
you know, before we get started, what do you think about this year so far?
2024,
yeah,
as a total, like,
well, it's not done. You're like, till now.
So you mean the whole year up until
now? Yeah. What do you feel about it? What are your thoughts about it? It's definitely a very odd and weird year for me, but I want to hear your thoughts on this.
I mean, I can only speak obviously from personal experience. It was I knew going into 2024, it was the year of change. I knew there were going to be a lot of upheavals and a lot of comings and goings and change, for lack of a better word. And it's been exactly that. But with change, because you know how a lot of people say, I don't like change, or even if they claim to like it, internally there is a lot of fear and resistance towards change. I tried to train myself at a very young age to accept change because the only constant in life is change. And it's been great because there's a quote by Rumi, and I don't have it memorized, but it says it's something along the lines of, don't resist the changes that are coming your way. How would you know that the other side isn't better than the side you're on now? And when you really understand that, you cannot help but let go and embrace, because I say this all the time, but everything has always worked out. Always, always. We've come out stronger, we've come out better, we've survived. So the only constant in life is change. And that's the totality of 2024 for me so far.
Alhamdulillah, honestly, like, obviously your experience is different to mine, right? But I do agree with you that for some reason, 2024 is definitely the year of change.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was like out with my friends and I'm like, it's been so long since I've seen them. And we're all like, you know, just talking about each and every one of us. And everyone was thriving and we're like, oh my God, is it the glow up year? Is it the year of change? So I do love that, but I do feel like it's, you know, a really big turning point this year.
I agree. But change is a big one. You know, it's very interesting because a lot of people want to claim to be flexible and responsive and adaptive or adaptative. What's the word? Is it adaptive? Like they can adapt. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it is interesting to me because, like I said, a lot of people claim to be responsive, adaptive, inclusive, accepting, forgiving, loving, kind. And I understand that there are virtues that are very holy and beautiful and admirable to aspire to embody, right? But when it comes to change, and like I said before, a lot of people will either iterate that they're afraid of change or they don't like change. And a lot of people will say, oh no, they embrace change and they love it. Mm-hmm. But push comes to shove, there is a natural instinctive resistance towards it. And I understand why. But I will say it again, the only constant in life is change. And it's very interesting because day to day, you'll see how things change. You yourself change, people around you change, the circumstances change. It is the only thing you can rely on in this life. And again, like Rumi said, like, why would you resist it? How do you know that the things on the other side aren't better?
It's 100% agree with you. It's absolutely terrifying to accept change.
You think so?
I think collectively, humans in general, they are a creature of habits and, you know, creatures of processes, routines. So change, I can understand, is kind of viewed as a disruption to the system.
I get that.
But honestly, for me personally, I kind of embrace change. I'm okay with it. I think change is kind of a steer or a different direction of a course where it's better for you, I believe.
I agree. I think what I quickly learned to, because, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, how do you do it, or how do you train yourself to do so? And I always say it's with little increments, and it's a trial and error, trial and error. You fail, you fall down, you get back up. But it's the consistency of trying. Absolutely. And I started by, when I see little changes come up, I try to really present myself and be aware and just tell myself, it's because I asked for it. I asked for the growth. I asked for a step up in life, but the change is inevitable, you know? One of the things, This is an interesting one. My friend Mariam Nino and I talk about this a lot. Whenever you ask, especially when it comes to relationships, you know what I mean? This is an interesting one. Actually, a piece of advice I would give people, because it's really powerful. It really is more powerful than you think. If you are in a relationship with someone, be it a man or a woman, and you're not sure about them, or you are really sure about them and you want Allah yatammim al khair wa yajma'kum, something that I really think you should do is, number one, pray istikhara always. But number two, id'i and ask God, is a fihum khair, jibliyahum, is a ma fihum khair, lo samahta ba'idhum. Which means, if there is blessings and good in them, please bring them closer and unify us. And if there isn't any good in them, if there is harm or something along the way that God sees that you don't see, please remove them from my path. And once you make that dua, I'm not even joking, get ready for them to drop like a fly within 48 hours. But don't resist it. The problem is that people start to resist it and get scared and panic and, oh my God. But that's literally God answering your prayer. If you ask God to remove someone, He will remove them.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to relationships, people should really try that one out.
I think that's very beautiful. I actually came across this video, and it was really, really beautiful. And it's very simple, but sometimes even the simplest things people don't understand. It's, if you're praying for patience, God will not give you patience.
I mentioned this in a previous video. Yeah, the Morgan exactly. Freeman. The movie.
I came across that and I'm like, this is a movie? I'm like, yeah. But this is like really good. Like, if you're praying for X, like, don't expect things to come in a silver platter. There will be like trials and tribulations. Hopefully nothing too intense or insane.
God gives you the opportunity. It is from a movie. I love that movie. But it's true. I think where people start to lose track of reality, for lack of a better word, is that they expect what they asked for or what they prayed for to come in the exact form that they asked for it or expected it to show up in. And that's very, very, very seldom the case. Usually, when you ask for something, God has three answers, I believe. This is an almost like an old wives' tale. It's either yes, not yet, or I have something better planned for you, right? So in all those three forms, it shows up the way God deems it right for it to show up for you at the right time, in the right way, under the right circumstances. So when I pray for something, I let go of the illusion of how it shows up, in what form, and when. I just, this is where I do my due diligence and I pray, والباقي على الله. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense.
The right way to apply non-attachment. Because you can apply non-attachment to prayer. It's a very interesting thing that people don't really pinpoint or clarify in their minds. You can absolutely practice non-attachment in your prayer. And I think it's the best way to train non-attachment, actually. You do your due diligence and you pray and you humble yourself and you take the time and you ask God for what you want. And then you let go. You don't concern yourself with the how, when, if, whatever. That's up to God. أنت عملت اللي عليك. الباقي على الله. And I think it's really exciting because I almost treat it like a treasure hunt. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but I'm waiting for it. It's right around the corner. It's going to show up in the best way because it's showing up from God. You know?
I love that.
Yeah, people need to make life fun.
No, it's absolutely...
I don't know why I did this.
You know...
I did this.
I don't know why you did that. Yeah, I mean, people need to obviously do what is... As you've said, people need to do what they need to do in this life. Mm-hmm. To get where they need to be. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I truly believe that 50% of that is just faith and leaving it to God.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Well, that was interesting. We went from 2024 to all of this. I just love our conversations, by the way. Like, we're a bit... So, I'm actually going to touch on this. You were in a... I don't know if I should say it, but you were in a podcast.
And yeah, go for there it. Is,
yeah, so you basically... You're in a podcast. It's yet to be released. Yeah. It's super exciting. But there was... a segment or a question that got brought up, or a topic, let's say, that did cause you to get emotional and tear up.
Yeah.
But I actually want you to discuss it here. So I'm going to bring it out, the question.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay.
So I think, you know what, in today's world, it's, I think everyone has this, everyone's selfish. Yeah. And not in a good way. It is good to be selfish. Sometimes for yourself, but in general, like as a constant trait to have, being selfish is not okay. So my question to you is, and I want your understanding full on this, is why are people not kind anymore?
Before I answer your question, you just said something that it's okay sometimes for people to be selfish. I would have agreed, except for the fact that I've changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pushed and shoved and indoctrinated in people that you need to be selfish, you need to be selfish. But because that's the way of taking care of yourself and loving yourself and whatever. And I don't abide by it. I don't like the word selfish. It's a very demonic word. It's a heavy word. It's a negative word. It's something you associate with psychopaths, people who lack empathy and who are very apathetic. I changed it into self-respect because I understand what you're saying. Be selfish in the sense that you can set boundaries because people aren't allowed to come and dishonor you and disrespect you. But that's self-respect. Do you know what I mean? And self-respect is very different than selfishness because selfishness can cause you to do very impulsive, problematic, self-destructive decisions, to take those decisions. Do you know what I mean? Having self-respect means you will stomp on those impulsive feelings and you will... berate yourself and reprimand yourself and not allow yourself to do that because you know it's disrespectful towards yourself. So selfishness and self-respect are two very different things. And anyone who tries to put those under the same umbrella is just lying to themselves.
I love that. We just got a reel.
Yeah. But I really think that's important because there is this whole topic of being selfish and I don't like it. It goes against human nature and more importantly against Islam. So I don't like it.
I agree where you're coming from. I think selfish definitely is the wrong word and it is a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But honestly, like what I meant was, and I know you understood.
Yeah, because I said I know what you meant.
Yeah, I meant is that if you don't put yourself first and have self-respect for yourself, how could you be in service to others when you yourself, you know, don't know how to... Do you get what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but that's literally what I'm trying to say is that putting yourself first with selfishness can be, I'm going to go out and party. I'm going to date this person and that person. I'm going to do whatever I want because it makes me happy. That's selfishness. And again, not in necessarily in an evil or malicious way from the person. They think they're really doing a service to themselves and loving themselves. But like I said, that's not true. Self-respect is where you draw boundaries and lines of even if selfishly this is what I want to do and I think it's going to make me happy, I know that it's not the right decision and I need to respect myself more. To me personally, again, a lot of people might even say the selfishness is self-respect. That's what I was saying. But that's why I put God at the forefront, because through God, you can easily differentiate is it self-respect or selfish. Do you know what I mean? And I can't lie to myself and be like, oh no, it is me loving and respecting myself. No, it's not. I know it's not because...
Aligned.
Yeah.
Aligned, agreed. Mm. Okay, let's go back to it.
What was the question? What is...
So it's very simple, actually.
Yeah, you said something kind.
Why are people not kind anymore? And let me take it a step further. Why are people not kind anymore? Explain what kindness is. And were people kinder before?
To me, kindness would be... behaving the way my Prophet alayhi salatu salam would behave. It would be also behaving the way I would were I always acutely aware that God and my Prophet alayhi salatu salam were watching me at all times. You would move differently. You'd speak differently. You'd you'd walk differently. It's just inevitable. We lose ourselves when we're alone. It's a human nature. So that's kindness to me. Why are people not kind anymore? For so many different reasons. Life is hard. This dunya is tough, and it'll test you to your core. And people are always searching and yearning for an anchor, for something to hold on to. And I said this in a previous video, you worship something whether you choose to believe it or not, okay? So if you don't worship God, you're worshiping something else in the sense that your energy is focused on something else. You wake up and live and breathe and eat and sleep and die for something else. And that could be something as simple as your career and money, which God forbid you worship money. You know what I mean? So when you have that state of, because it's human nature, it's why we're put on this earth. We're looking for an anchor. And a lot of people stray from God, and we're sponges, and we're easily, what's the word I'm looking for? Impressioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With social media and with friends and with peer pressure, you find yourself anchoring yourself to so many different things that the essence of them and the foundation of them are selfishness and the sense of being alone and independency from everyone else. What are you going to do? How can you be kind? When it's every man for himself, who are you going to be kind to? Most people aren't even kind to themselves. And unfortunately, they're really embedding this every man for himself. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. Energy in everyone. It is. It's very every man for himself. And I have always been of the firm belief that if you do not show kindness to yourself, it is impossible for you to be kind to other people. So when people come up to me and try to sell themselves as the sweetest, most doting, loving, kind, nice people in the world, and then I see how they treat themselves and what they allow themselves to go through, and more importantly, how they allow other people to treat them, I cannot accept it. You're not even kind to yourself, so don't even try to claim to be kind to me. And I don't have weak people in my circle. It's just not a thing.
You know, I think, you know, first impressions are important, right? I never...
To a limit, yeah.
To a limit, yeah. I don't really judge on first impressions, to be honest. But, you know, like, I think we've all been through this where, let's say we see a girl or a guy and they're not the most accommodating or loving or, you know, like, not the nicest person in the room, right? And when you get to know them and they, like, step up to the plate or whatever, you're like, wow, this person actually is kind. I would have never thought that this person is actually kind. So it's interesting. Like, you've had that before, right?
Yeah, but I'm very aware of what it is. So first impressions mean nothing to me. To a certain extent, if someone shows up, actually, I take that back. First impressions mean nothing to me. Because even if someone shows up, how do I say this? Okay, wait, how do I say this? Because I need it to be well-rounded and make sense. I mean this in every way. First impressions mean nothing to me. Because I learned at a very young age that when you have a first impression, it is strictly no exceptions, you mirroring yourself onto the other person in front of you. You are mirroring insecurities and doubts and whatever lackings you have inside of you onto the other person. It is strictly that. Now, some people might tell you, well, someone showed up with BO and looked horrible and like they didn't shower. Even then, Allahu A'lam, what they are going through. God knows what they're going through. Maybe you caught them on their worst of days. You know what I mean? But there is a philosopher, and I cannot remember his name, but he said that impressions are literally you mirroring yourself onto someone else. And anything that you see in someone that you do not like, you have inside of you. And there is no negotiating that. So the people who are triggered in my comments, you know what I mean? When I say something, and I'm generalizing, because every generalization has some truth to it. You know what I mean? I could generalize about something that applies to this general, but not this general. And then I apply a general that applies to this general and not this general. But do you know something I've really learned the hard way? Innocent people don't need to defend themselves. So that's my opinion on first impressions.
Why do you think innocent people don't need to defend themselves?
Because if you and I are talking and you say, for example, I really don't like it when people aren't kind to waiters, you know? And my first instinct is, but maybe the waiter did something. But maybe the waiter, whatever. You know what I mean? Why am I so triggered? Yeah, I don't like people who aren't kind to waiters. Why am I assuming you're talking about me? Why am I defending, you know? Or actually, even to say just the waiter, some people might go like, no, but I didn't like disrespect the waiter. And you're like, bro, I wasn't talking about you. I'm just saying, en général, in this general dunya that we are in, I don't like people who are disrespectful to waiters. It's a very solid statement, you know? And for me to be triggered, either say something about myself or in general try to refute or dismiss your statement and belittle you and come all high and mighty like there's a better argument ahead. Innocent people don't need to defend themselves, you know? Like, for example, there's a lot of videos online. A lot of videos online of people talking about something they've witnessed that a man has done that's horrible, or multiple stories they've heard of men who either disrespect women or abuse them or are misogynistic or whatever you want, you know, because obviously those things exist around the world. And then why is it that some men in the comments are like, I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. Like, I really pray my daughter never goes through that. And why are there men in the comments that either blame the women or say, yeah, screw you, you're just a woman who belongs to the streets? What's the difference between those two men? Innocent men don't need to defend themselves. Which means if you get triggered, well, not just men, innocent people don't need to defend themselves. If you're triggered, that's just an admission of lack of innocence.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's deep. Even the mirror thing, I do like that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't care for first impressions. Mm. I think by nature, we do make first impressions. It's by nature we do. Whether we choose to act
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Ghasb anna. Yeah, it's yeah.
It's by nature.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But even if it is by nature, that's what I'm saying. I used to be like that. I used to fall under first impressions. And especially when you're in high school and as a group of people, if you meet someone, it's either all of you like them or all of you don't. And it's that mass mentality thing. And alhamdulillah, at a young age, I really liked philosophy and poetry and stuff. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God. Because here's the thing. It is always a double-edged sword. Kama tudin tudan. You make a first impression on someone and you label them horrible because of reflections of yourself that you forced upon them. You best believe that'll turn right around and come back to you. And then one day you will walk maybe into a very important room where you need to make a good first impression, and they will slam you with the same impressions that you slammed someone else with. I think people really need to understand this. There is nothing you give that you don't receive back. 100%. Everything you put out in this world comes back to you, and sometimes tenfold. Because sometimes your intention is horrid, and that needs to be paid. There is a price to pay.
I love that.
Yeah. I think people really forget karma. I think people really forget karma.
What's Islam's take on karma?
I'm not sure. I know it's kama tudin tudan. I know it's tafa'alu bil khayr tajiduh. I know there's a lot of...
We don't know if it's paid, if it happens in this dunya or in the
after. In the akhirah, that's true. But I always say, I hope it happens. Any bad I've done, I hope it comes back to me in this dunya, not in the akhirah, you know? I'm not entirely sure I feel like they're just not coming to me. But that's a question to ask my dad.
Yeah, we'll do it next time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna trigger you so badly with this one.
That's okay. By the way, just before you trigger me, yeah. I was gonna say, I think that's really important. Like, now you asked me a question about karma and Islam, and I said, I don't know. Mm. I think it's really important. People need to learn to say, I don't know. You don't have to know everything.
Of course.
You're not stupid or lesser than or any of the things you convince yourself you are if you don't know something. If anything, it's an opportunity to go pick up a book and learn. So I love that you just asked me something now and I said, I don't know. But you best believe I'm gonna go home and pick up a book.
You know, it's someone not knowing something or everything doesn't make them stupid. What makes them stupid is questioning something, but not taking the opportunity actually to dive deeper into it.
So it's both.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. People really learn... 4 hours of sleep. Okay. I think that's really important. People really need to learn how to say, I don't know. You don't always know everything. It is an impossibility. One of my favorite things sometimes is to take that burden off of me and just say, actually, I don't know. I don't have an answer to your question. But like you said, it's a shame if you're unable to then go and pick up a book and research. So I think, yes, number one, I love saying I don't know because it's an opportunity for me to go and learn. And you best believe I'm going to go and pick up that book. Number two, I think what actually makes you look dumb and lesser than is claiming to know something you don't know. Because guess what? Someone prods you a little bit too much and asks you a little, one too many questions. You look like an absolute idiot. And why? To impress whom? Who does that serve? Guys, you really need to learn to say, I don't know. Someone asks you something and you don't know it. Bro, you know what? I really don't have an answer for you. I actually don't know.
You know, it's so funny. I mean, we've gone out a lot and we've been in many gatherings where we've heard people, you know, share their insights on things. And it's like,
I know who you're talking
you
about.
Don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, for me, Lails, honestly, like, obviously you are a bundle of wisdom. Mashallah, mashallah. No, honestly, you know a lot about everything, you know, and it's so beautiful. And you honestly took the time to research, to practice things, to look into things. And that's very beautiful. Not a lot of people do that. But a lot of the times I actually don't know what you're talking about. And I say it. I'm like, I don't know. But then I go research it. And I'm like, okay, now I know.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah. Well, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I think it's such a shame. There's so much to learn about this world. And I know you say like a bundle of wisdom, but to me it's like, bro, I know very little about very little. Because the more I know, the more I realize I know nothing. So yeah, trigger me.
Trigger you. Trigger.
Go ahead.
Okay. Can you explain victim mentality? And how do you deal with these people?
So victim mentality in that I've witnessed externally.
Actually. No, I'll break this down. Explain what victim mentality is in general, and explain how you deal with victim mentality. And if you even want to give a personal example, go for it.
I actually have the perfect answer for you. The perfect answer for today. Tomorrow it might change. So I was watching reels and I came across a reel of a lady. It was either her podcast or someone else's podcast, but she was answering something. And she was saying, and I'm very loosely quoting here. She was saying she doesn't like people who want to sit and just complain to her. Okay. She says, if someone sits across from me and all they want to do is vent and complain, and this is the important part, with no intention of resolve or solution or fixing, I don't allow it. I don't allow it for my partner, for my friends, not even my parents. Because you drain my energy, you take everything from me. And what I understood, it's basically you're taking everything from me without wanting to do anything about it. So all you did was come drain me, and then you're not going to resolve it. So it's just venting for the sake of venting. And based on everything I know, I watched that video and I was like, yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with what she's saying. Because not only do I not allow people to come do this to me, I won't go do it to people in return. So to me, that was a no-brainer. I opened the comments and it was 99% attacking. And this is where the victim mentality comes in of sometimes people just need it. And they completely, completely negated the fact that she said, if you're just going to vent with no intention of resolve. So what she was trying to say, I believe, is you can come talk to me about anything. I will sit and listen to you. But then what's the game plan? And I think this is the what differentiates people who want to sulk and marinate and die in a victim mentality and people who just want to do better and be better. Of course, it's human nature. You can come talk to me about anything. But how long are we going to talk about it? And to what end? So I stand by what she said. And it's insane to me how much people attacked her in the comments. But those people in the comments who are triggered, number one, just want to succumb to a victim mentality. And number two, innocent people don't need to defend themselves. So the people triggered in the comments are the people who will just continuously vent with no resolve. And then I will add one more thing. Okay? If you want to continuously vent with no resolve, no, not if you want to continuously vent with no resolve. This is what I'll add. I'll add one more thing. If you as a friend are defending someone who only wants to complain, vent, and come and trauma dump on you with no intention of coming up with a solution when emotionally they are ready, I understand. But again, within limits, because you can't be emotionally ready. You can't take every little thing and allow yourself to sulk and be depressed for a year. But my point is, those people commenting these things, I wouldn't even want to be friends with them. No, they're the ones defending the people who need to vent and whatever. Okay? Do you know why I wouldn't be friends with them? Because if you as a person are very comfortable with being a dumpster and allowing people to trauma dump on you, and you're defending them, going like, but that's normal. People just need to complain even though they have no solution in sight and don't even want to strive for a solution, I am now questioning your self-respect and your self-value. Why are you allowing yourself to be a dumpster? What is it about life that has pushed you so much into a corner and backed you against a wall where you're like, yeah, I'm very okay with people locking themselves in a victim mentality and using me as a landfill? So you actually, for anyone with two peas in their brain, okay, you look like a fool. You know, but all of you people in a victim mentality cult, you know what I mean? Defending yourselves in the comments and backing each other up. No, I not only do I stand by the girl in the video, but I also now look at you differently. Because guess what? You've just shown me your cards. You allow yourself to be a trauma dumpster. So that's the summary of victim mentality for me.
How do you deal with them, with victim mentality? I know you just mentioned it.
I don't mess with them. I was gonna.
Okay,
curse.
Question. What if your best friend or your father or your mother had victim mentality? Sorry.
I won't go into father or mother. I'll go into best friend.
Yeah, any cousins or whatever.
I'll go into best friend. Yesterday, I was telling you, because I've been saying this for a while, bro, I've gained weight. And I just summarized the whole thing. But to me, it's not just about the weight gain. Alhamdulillah, I still look good. I feel good in my clothes and all that. To me, it was about the lifestyle. That I was waking up late. I was being lethargic. I wasn't eating as healthy as I could. And I like to treat my body and my mind like a temple. But I didn't reiterate the whole thing. And you just looked at me. You're like, enough with this body dysmorphia. You're making me sick. Like, stop talking. That's how I deal with it. Shut up. So it's either you get it together and you go back to your healthy lifestyle or stop talking about it. And I agree. I didn't even take it personally. I'm like, she's right.
So about the, I don't know if you want to add this, about the body dysmorphia thing. Look, maybe it was said in a bad way.
No, not at all.
I didn't mean it. But I think for me, I'll tell you something. I have seen, again, you're always beautiful to me, but I have seen you in your most beautiful, you know, that day and time.
Yeah.
in the fitting room. Yeah. Honest to God, I was like, wow. And I don't know truly deep down if you were liking what you were seeing or how you were feeling. But for me, I'm like, this is wow, like goddess. But I was like, but you weren't fully happy, or like you had some comments, which is natural. But I'm like, how could you have comments when you look like that? Like, to me, I was like, okay, this is a bit of a body dysmorphia, or maybe my eyesight is bad.
No, I get, okay. I get what you're saying. I think it's human nature to just make comments and compare and whatever. And even if I do with you, believe you me, I always go home and I reprimand myself. And I'm always like, your body's a gift from God. You have no right to discredit it. You have no right to disrespect it. And if there is something you don't like about it, you can go and change it. Not with plastic surgery, because I'm very anti that, but with healthy lifestyles, with work out a little more, even though I do work out a lot, but things like that. So no, I'm fully with you. That being said, let's go back to the victim mentality. How do I deal with it? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. It's very interesting. The second I see, this is where self-respect comes in. The second I see someone with a victim mentality with no intent to change and they love it, they turn it into their whole personality, because 9 times out of 10, you best believe victim mentality turn it into their whole personality. It's their North Star. The second I see that, we are done. You don't belong in my life. Number one, I don't like weak people. I do not surround myself with weak people. I do not respect weak people because they do not respect themselves. So the second I see that, we're done. Okay, because I don't allow it for myself and I don't allow it for other people who want to be around me. I don't like it. Victim mentality is the beginning of the death of everything. And if you don't see it, then that's on you. That's on you.
I love that, babe. Well said.
Yeah, because I don't allow myself to have it. So if it's something, so if I'm respecting myself enough to step on my ego and certain things that, you know, by human nature or my nature, I want to resolve to, and I'm really doing that heavy, hard work, why am I not going to force it upon you if you want to be in my life? Of course I will. I have standards.
I think it's interesting as well, as I do believe that if this drops as a reel or a video, people will definitely get triggered by this when you say, I don't surround myself with weak people. I think people need to think beyond what you're saying is, what can that weak person do in the future to harm you and to harm themselves? Do you know what I mean? So it goes way beyond that, you know?
Oh, I've said this before. I don't trust weak people. I wouldn't trust a weak person as far as I could throw them. Weak people are not loyal. It is an impossibility because they do not love themselves. They do not respect themselves. And there's always something more enticing that'll come along, that'll immediately change their resolve, and immediately they'll tag team and switch teams. What do I do then? What am I going to do? Just say, oh, I was being nice. No, I know better. Weak people, honestly, I want to put all weak people on an island and they can, you know, figure it out themselves.
Chaos. I really like how this episode is going. Gracias. Okay, let's move on because there's actually some topics I want to discuss here.
Go for it.
So I think we actually did speak about this. I'm going to actually put a quote in.
Ooh.
Don't be nice, be kind.
Mm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but I've always said this. I think this is more specific though, because I did see a reel that started to go viral about someone explaining the difference between being nice and being kind. And this is everything I have stated from the beginning. I do not care for nice people, because nice people are nice to everyone. Nice people are nice to your mother and your enemy. And that makes no sense to me. You know what I mean? Because what's that saying? The friend of my...
enemy? No.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend? Or anyway. Yeah. But anyway, let's go. Whatever it is. But yeah. So this video was going viral across social media about a man explaining the difference between being nice and being kind. And alhamdulillah, I'm really glad that a lot of people saw it, because this is something that I've stated from the start. Someone who just claims to be nice means nothing to me. Because if you are only ever, quote unquote, nice, that means you are incapable of anything else. And what does that mean? Nothing. If you're incapable of standing your ground, of going to war for the people you love, of disciplining people, of setting boundaries, that means nothing to me. What it means, actually, is pure weakness. And weak people can... you can mop the floor with them. ريح بتجيبهم ريح بتوديهم. And those people will always end up throwing you under the bus. But being kind, now that's a very different thing. And this is what I've said from the start. Sometimes my kindness towards you is my tough love. Sometimes my empathy towards you is not allowing you to self-sabotage. Sometimes my kindness towards you can even be me cutting you off. Maybe to have a rude awakening that something needs to be altered. And I've seen it transpire. You know, and I've also seen the opposite transpire, where you could try to be kind to someone and they retaliate, fully retaliate, because you're poking a festered wound. So no, I don't like nice people. I think nice people aren't all that nice. I like kind people, because kindness comes from a place of strength.
I really love that. That was very well said.
Thanks. Gracias.
Alrighty.
What?
Nothing. This is gonna poke some people and rub some people the wrong way, but you know what? I actually do want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think women are typically happier as housewives rather than career, corporate, 9-to-5 women?
Yeah, I do. I think if society was functioning I think if society was functioning properly and we weren't on the verge of completely being destroyed and we're barely hanging on by a thread, yeah, I think women would be much happier being housewives and raising children and fulfilling a divine purpose with a man who genuinely prioritizes the family unit and takes care of them. Absolutely. That is perfection in a house home nucleus. That being said, in today's day and age, I don't think women are happy career-wise, and I don't think women are happy relationship-wise, because career-wise, you're a slave to the system. And maybe in your 20s, that sounds like a lot of fun, you know? But call me when you're in your late 30s and early 40s. Truly, call me, okay? And then women who are married, and unfortunately, bro, it breaks my heart the amount of DMs I received of women who married the most toxic, most vulnerable, most despicable men, and I mean vulnerable in a negative sense here. They're miserable. Yeah. So I think women are the most depressed they've ever been. The highest consumption of prescription, psychological prescriptions, is by women. Wow. So if that doesn't resolve it for you, I don't know what will.
So we're obviously on social media, you and I, and we've been coming across this trend.
Mm.
It's been going on. It blew up last year, but it's really like blowing up this year as well. Is a lot of women who are housewives, who
Like Ballerina Farm and Nara Smith?
Yeah, Ballerina Farm, Nara Smith. There's another girl, I don't remember. But it's a very little house in the prairie, fairy tale life.
Cottage life.
I love it. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this. But, you know, I was looking into the comments. And from what I see and from what I read, maybe it's the algorithm, is that I do see it's 50-50.
50-50, I see that too.
50% are, wow, this is, you know, this is what life should be. This is a woman's role in this life. And we wish we could get there, you know? We wish we could serve our purpose and our divine purpose of, you know, caring, reproducing, all of that. And the other 50% are, you know, This is ridiculous. What kind of life is this? You know, the feminist, let's call them that.
And this is, you're being suppressed, you're being oppressed.
And even, oppressed, you know, sorry. Even when, you know, some of the videos of them are making scratch, like butter from scratch, cheese from scratch, cereal from scratch.
Can I tell you something?
And they're saying it's ridiculous. I think it's beautiful.
It's not ridiculous, bro. My sister and my dad, when they cook, they make pasta from scratch. They make cheese from scratch. They make butter from scratch. They love cooking. They love feeding their families. And I can't even explain to you. Can we just discuss something? Do you know the barakah and the hasanat and the blessings that you get from feeding people? I think we've completely looked this over, because now women don't want to stay at home and don't want to cook and don't want to and don't want to. And I know in the comments you'll say, if he's worth it. Of course, I'm talking about doing all of these beautiful things for someone who's worth it and has earned it and deserves it. Okay, that's resolved. Do you understand the blessings that God and the angels write for you? You know what I mean? When you feed people, mind you, charity and people in general, let alone the people you birthed and who want your love and need it. They need it to survive. And we just want to skip that over and just talk about women rights and men rights. Well, what about your family's rights? What about your children's rights? What about God's, your obligations toward God? Like, we just want to skip that. Khalas, because feminism? Get out of here. Honestly, get out of here. It's ridiculous. We that's not even a conversation anymore. We stopped talking about the barakah, the ni'mah of feeding your family. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. But the trad wives, yeah, my family makes things from scratch all the time. Bro, my dad, fallah. Fallah means basically, for lack of a better word, a peasant. He grew up milking cows and butchering on a farm. Like, my dad grew up in a mud house in Saudi Arabia. Are you joking? Like, this is a ni'mah that we're in. And now that he has, like, alhamdulillah, a beautiful kitchen and the ability to buy the best quality and caliber of food to feed us, he loves it. Sometimes you went to his house when I was traveling with your husband and you're like, no, no, no. And he insisted, you do not leave before I feed you.
Yeah, it was very beautiful.
Of course, because this is humanity and human nature. The video where I got emotional, where I'm like, people don't want to be kind towards each other anymore. This is where the selfishness falls into play. Why would you not cook for someone who's entering your house? As a house owner who's invited people over, do you not have a duty towards your guests? Let alone the people who live under your roof. Bro, the fact that this even needs to be discussed blows my mind. So yeah, I love Nara Smith and Ballerina Farm. That's my dream, bro. It's always been my dream ever since I was a young kid. I was like, one day I want to own. Please don't be triggered by the ethics of a coffee plantation. Inshallah, I will be ethical. But I've always wanted to own, like, a coffee farm or a farm in general and live off the land. It's been my dream for as long as I can remember.
I think it's Ballerina Farm, but basically I remember, I saw something, I read something, is that they allowed reporters and a media magazine to interview.
And they screwed them over?
And they screwed them over and kind of portrayed the story as the creator being oppressed by a system, by her husband.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but I want your thoughts on this.
So with propaganda, it's very, very interesting, okay? And this is what I've realized, because I heard Candace Owens say this on her podcast with Andrew Tate, and we've always known this, but when she put it into words, I'm like, you know what, I shall do the same as well. People like Ballerina Farm or Andrew Tate and so on and so forth, what they've done is they've galvanized men, which means they've allowed men to remember they can be men and they can have a woman that will embody her femininity and love your masculinity. And what Ballerina Farm does is exactly that. She is fully feminine. He is fully masculine. And that pisses the propaganda off. So yeah, they will act all nice and sweet and want to come into your farm and tell you, oh, we want to write a piece on you, we love what you're doing here, and then completely go in and blindside you with the piece they actually end up writing, because you are allowing men to be men. And that's the most important thing. Women can always be women. Women can always acclimate. Women can always find another tribe and be women. Men don't belong to just any tribe. They are where they are on the land that they are. And when you galvanize them and you tell them, hey, guess what? Do you remember your masculinity that you kind of thought was cool and they told you it's not? Guess what? It's really cool. It pisses a lot of people off.
You know, I came across, I actually follow her. I saw one of her videos.
Ballerina Farm?
Yeah.
I think she's adorable.
I think she has a beautiful life.
Yeah, mashallah.
You know, from what mashallah. I see, mashallah, I think she has a beautiful life. Yeah. And it's a blessed life. It's a simple, it's a blessed life.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, I saw one comment in Arabic, and I don't know if it was a woman or a man, but it was in Arabic. And that comment basically said, she has 8 children.
Okay? Mm, yeah, I know.
So that comment said, every time I see, finally, this woman is not pregnant. For years, she's always been pregnant and had children. And I was just a bit taken aback.
I get you.
This is like our parents had many siblings, mashallah. Yeah. My mom has 8 siblings. My dad has, mashallah, 6 siblings.
My dad has...
It wasn't too long ago. This was it.
My dad had 9. One passed away, Allah yirhamha, last December. So they're 8 now.
Allah yirhamha.
Yeah. But yeah, it is a thing. Now, I don't know. I love it. Trad wives for the win.
Trad wives for the win.
And trad men for the win. Trad hubbies for the win.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love what you said earlier, by the way. Let a man be a man.
Yeah.
It's not happening now. Bro. Can I tell you something? when I got married, actually, sorry, mind you, when Yuri moved, who's my husband, when he moved to Dubai, obviously we're always together, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it was for show when he first started exuberating these traits, but he would open the door, he would close it. He does some gentlemanly things to you that are manly, that not many men do. And at first, you know, I'll be very honest with you. Because we were doing long distance for 3.5 years, I was very on my own, independent. He wasn't there with me. So everything I would do on my own, right? Yeah. So he would open even the simple things, open the door, close the door. I'd be like, no, baby, you don't have to do it. He's like, no, I'm the man. Let me do this for you. Let me...
Yeah.
But and then, you know, I was like, at some point, I'm like, allow I like him it.
To be a man.
I like it.
Yeah. Number one, you like it. Number two, allow him. That's why when I was saying before that you will be a man and have a woman who embodies her divine feminine, who loves your masculinity, allows your masculinity. So if you guys are clashing, لا انت سامح لها ولا هي سامحت لك, which means you're not letting her and she's not letting you, bro, why are you even bothering?
You know what's crazy? And as well, me and my husband, we both have jobs, right? We work. And still, if he's hungry or I want to heat him up something or order him something, I still do it. He never like cooks. He never orders the food. Like sometimes he does. But honestly, for me, I want to do that. Yeah. I want to be the nurturing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to care.
Yeah.
But people get triggered by these things.
They do get triggered.
It's like, oh, you both have jobs. You're both busy. But it's like, it's not about that. It's about the role each gender has to play.
I agree. I also, you know what blows my mind? The amount of women in my comments saying, no, if we both work and we both whatever, it should be 50-50. Allah yakhrib baytik. I wish I could like literally hold you and shake you and explain to you how detrimental what you're doing to yourself is. With that mentality, you will never attract a man who is a man of men. Because if a man is very comfortable with doing 50-50 and has no problem with it, that's not a man.
It's a business transaction as well.
That's not a man. See, with that, they will tell you like, but isn't it a business transaction when you want the man to pay for everything? But honestly, if you wanna make it so icky and take it down to that, life is a business transaction. Everything in life is a business transaction. It's not necessarily monetarily. It can be energetically. It can be with love. It can be with feelings. But everything in this life is a business transaction. And if you think otherwise, well, you're fooling yourself.
I honestly, I know it's not over. I'm not ending the episode because that's your job as
But I think
I love this episode a lot. I think it was very good. I've missed being on this chair.
I want you to be on camera.
Maybe one day.
Ooh, one day. Okay. We're starting to.
At you first know what? Was, can I tell you something? Of course. I envisioned being in camera. I'm not gonna lie. Ooh. It was a surpassing thought, but I'm not there yet.
Okay, well, at least it's a thought because when we first started, it was a hell no, and then it was a no, and then it was like a no answer. Now it's a maybe. Now it's a we had a fleeting thought. So baby steps.
I do say hell no a lot.
Yeah, we're improving.
I want to just do one more topic.
Go for it.
Because I feel like this is really related to the episode. I hate this line, and I know you hate it even more than I do, is just, it's okay to not be okay.
Oy. Oy, 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 oy.
Just give it, hit them with it.
You know, I don't like to use the word hate, but I really hate the sentence, it's okay not to be okay. Because the way it was introduced into society, into films, into pop culture, into social media, into little things here and there, people have really started to succumb to not being okay. And it went from a smaller thing to a much bigger thing. Now with everything, we have these big feelings that we can't contain, and they overwhelm us, and then we're so sad, and then we're stuck into that victim mentality, and then the little pat on our back is what? It's okay not to be okay. وبعدين, and then what? And a lot of people have come for me with, we're not saying it's okay not to be okay forever, but you kind of are though. You kind of are, because I'll be really honest with you, and this might be a little intense, but it's what's worked for me. A day wasted feeling sad, wallahi, is a day you never get back. And I look back now and I'm like, how did I ever let myself lose sleep over something like that or worry about something like that? It's the rule of five. It's, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, you shouldn't waste 5 minutes on it. So no, it's not okay not to be okay. It's actually very okay to be okay.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I love that. So too. All right, so inshallah, I will release my dad's episode and then we'll release this one. And interestingly enough, I'm invited as a guest on someone else's podcast, which we're about to run to. So, I will be traveling for some time. I'm going to Saudi Arabia and then I'm going back to Jordan for a little bit and then I'm coming back. So I might be off. I think there's actually...
I'm also traveling too. You might not hear my voice for...
True. There might be a week where I don't post, but I think with the way the calendar is working, it's going to work out because we filmed today. But Foof, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I loved being here. I always love being in this chair.
Loved having you.
I wish you all... I bid all of you a good day.
I bid you adieu.
I bid you adieu.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Woohoo.